I have distinct memories growing up from being home on sick days from school and watching TV in the afternoon and Antique Roadshow would come on. I'm sure you've heard of the show. It's these episodes where people bring these family heirlooms or antiques and they take them to these convention centers, and there's appraisers who study the thing that they brought in. They tell you how much it's valued. And these people walk away discovering kind of the value of these important things. Sometimes it blows you away the amount of money something is worth. I know some of you have watched this, and because of this, you've started amassing your Pokemon cards and your Beanie Babies and your comic books, hoping that one day you're going to have like your Antique Roadshow moment where you realize they're worth hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever. Until then, they're just collecting dust in your basement and they feel useless. But one of my favorite things about this show, it's not just because I'm an 80-year-old in a millennial body, but there's something about the joy on the face of both the appraiser and the owner of the item when they realize that this item that I've had for so long, that's been passed down through my family, or this thing I found in my attic, is worth so much more than I realized. It's something that's already kind of sentimental to me because it's great-grandma's dishes that she left to me that she got at her wedding in the 1890s. But now I realize because of this appraiser that they're worth $30,000, and I couldn't even imagine them being worth so much, that they're so much more valuable than I thought. I'm using this because I think this Antique Roadshow appraiser analogy is spot on for what Paul is doing in the prayer that we're going to be looking at today. Towards the end of the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul is saying to his readers how he's praying for them. That in hearing about the faith of these people, he is praying these things, and he kind of lets them in. He gives them a window into his prayer life for them. As the Antique Roadshow appraiser kind of shows the owner of an antique how much more valuable it is, I think Paul in this passage is praying that the Ephesians and the readers of his letter would realize how much more valuable what they have in Christ is than they even realize. Let's look at the passage together. Paul says this, starting in verse 15, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Now, before we get into this, I want us to notice a couple things. First of all, Paul is saying that this is like a continuous prayer for him, that I have not stopped giving thanks for you. I keep asking that God would do these things for you. It's also important for us to realize that the letter to the Ephesians wasn't just to the church in Ephesus. Scholars believe that the letter to the Ephesians was what they call a circular letter, meaning it would be sent to one church, and they would copy it down word for word on their own copy, and then they would send it to another church in the area. And this is what was going on in house churches around Ephesus and other cities in what's now Turkey. And what's important for us to remember as we read this and try to apply this to our own prayer lives is Paul is praying these things, giving thanks and asking God for the sake of people who are growing in their faith, and he's praying it regularly. It's not just to certain specific people, it's to people who are growing in their faith. He's thanking God for them, and he's asking God for certain things for them. And as we look to bring this into our prayer lives, there are ways where we can be praying these things regularly. Like, think if you're a parent, like praying these things for our kids is very appropriate. Thanking God for their growing faith and asking God for specific things. Or maybe it's for someone that we see growing in their faith and we're encouraged by it in the same way Paul is. And so we are thanking God for it and we're asking specific things that we're going to dig into in a moment. Maybe it's for a brother or sister who we know is struggling right now in this season. And so we are thanking God for what he's doing in their life and we're asking God for specific things for them. We can bring this into our prayer life. It's not just for the Ephesians. It's for people growing in their faith, and Paul is praying for them. Let's dig into what he is asking God specifically for them. So he says that, I ask that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul is asking that God would open people's eyes, would reveal things to them so that they could see these things. Like the appraiser and the antique roadshow, Paul is asking that God would open up the eyes of his readers to be able to see that what they have in Jesus isn't just, oh, cool, I'm saved now, or isn't a change on a demographic, on a census, or isn't a, oh, this is kind of my religious membership changing. But it is so much more valuable than they realize, that there are parts to it that are richer and more beautiful than even they could have dreamt of. That they can know him, that they can know the hope, know the inheritance they have, and know God's great power. We're going to dive into these four things this morning as things that we pray for others for, as we see them as they grow in their faith, as we can learn from Paul's prayer here. We're going to start with knowing God. Paul prays that God's Spirit would give them wisdom and revelation so that they could know God better. And here's why this is significant for Paul praying to praying for his readers. Having faith in Jesus, being a Christian, is more than just having our sins forgiven. It's not just a get a hell free card. It's not just a, well, I get to go to heaven now when I die. We actually get to know the God who created us. We get to be in a relationship with the one that philosophers and theologians and thinkers from all kinds of different traditions and religions and thought movements throughout human history have been pondering about. We get to know him. And I think this is absolutely beautiful, that it is a relational kind of knowing that we get to grow in with our God. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him. And Paul actually gives us some kind of hints in this passage here of who this God is that we get to know. Let's look at verse 17, for example. Paul says, as we read earlier, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I've mentioned this before in previous sermons, but Paul is so intentional to talk about God as Trinity, as we believe, as Father, as Son, Jesus, and as Spirit. The Father, three in one, co-eternal, co-equal, this beautiful being who is a community in and of himself. And this is so important for us to understand who God is, as we grow in our knowledge of God. I want to read to you from this book called Delighting in the Trinity. And talking about knowing God in the introductory chapter of it, the author says this: Christianity is not primarily about lifestyle change. It's about knowing God. To know and grow to enjoy him is what we're saved for. Nonetheless, getting to know God better does actually make for far more profound and practical change as well. Knowing the love of God is the very thing that makes us loving. Sensing the desirability of God alters our preferences and inclinations, the things that drive our behavior. We begin to want God more than anything else. We will see that the triune nature of this God affects everything from how we listen to music to how we pray. It makes for happier marriages, warmer dealings with others, better church life. It gives Christians assurance, shapes holiness, and transforms the very way we look at the world around us. No exaggeration. The knowledge of this God turns lives around. As we know who God is and grow in our knowledge of God, as Paul prays for his readers, that shapes us. That grows us to be able to worship him more fully and truly with our lives. Kind of a side plug, this book is going to be part of a discipleship pathway class that we're doing this fall that you can sign up online for. It's going to be a great read and a great time of growing together. But as we pray for our kids, as we pray for brothers and sisters, we pray that God would give them the wisdom and revelation so that they would know God. And that in knowing God, they would be transformed by seeing who he is. Like the author said here, that they would be shaped by seeing a clearer picture of God. Let's go to our next thing that Paul prays for his readers. He prays that they would know hope, that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened in order that they may know the hope to which he has called them. Hope is being able to endure the present because of our confidence in what's coming. And specifically as Christians, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, all of creation is going to be renewed. Death and decay, sin, will no longer be part of reality. Disease, injustice will no longer exist. Paul is praying that we would be able to grasp this hope, that we'd be able to live fully in this hope. And this is part of one of the rich gifts that we're given because of who Jesus is. Listen, I don't need to convince you how important it is to have hope right now. In the difficulties and struggles that each of us face at different times, especially in a time like this where we're facing all kinds of weird uncertainties with what's going on in the world, having hope is key for us to have a sense of purpose, to have a sense of being able to get up day to day and say, okay, there's a reason why I'm here. There's the ability to get through this. As we pray for our kids or pray for a brother or sister, as we pray for those growing in their faith, we pray that they would know hope, that they would be grounded in them so that we can get past present difficulties knowing that what is coming is better, that God is reigning on his throne and will make all things new because Christ has defeated death. Thirdly, Paul prays that his readers might know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, think about an inheritance for a second. An inheritance is something that you receive because you are part of a family, because you're a child, right? It's something maybe left in a will or set aside for you as part of the family. This letter that Paul writes to the Ephesians and to the other churches around Turkey, they were mainly non-Jewish people who had become followers of Jesus. And for them to hear about an inheritance as part of God's holy people was a way of saying, you who are once outsiders, you who are once not part of the family, you who are once not God's people, are now part of the family. I think many of us need to be able to hear this reality that as Christians, we are not just individually in relationship with God, but we are brought into God's family, brought into this group of people that God has chosen to give his inheritance to. We become descendants of Abraham like he promised centuries ago that would be as many as the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore. In praying this with Paul, we're praying that that we would know what it means to be part of God's family, that we are receiving inheritance, not just as individuals, but together as his people. And this is so important for us today in a day and age where we are individualistic. And there's this individualistic kind of Christianity that we can fall into where it's just me and God, where it's just me and my Bible and whatever he says to me, without realizing, no, I'm part of something bigger and greater as God's family. And I receive my inheritance because of this. When we pray these things, we pray that our kids or our friends, those who are lonely, those who are loosely connected to a family of faith, would be able to experience some of the great riches of the inheritance of God in being part of God's people. That this is part of the good news, is we are part of the family. And that we might be able to grow and strengthen each other together, not just individually. The last thing that Paul prays is that his readers would know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. He talks about this power in the rest of this section. He kind of riffs on it and expands on it and says this. He says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he, God, exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, Paul is saying here that the same power that raised Christ from the dead exalted him victoriously on the throne above every power and influence and personality and scheme of the enemy. That power is available to you and me. Do we ever feel weak? Do we ever feel helpless in our life or in our sense of meaning or in trying to live out this life of faith and following Jesus? Do we ever feel overwhelmed, like we cannot get ahead? Do we ever feel entangled in sins where we feel helpless to be able to overcome them or to be victorious in any way? Guys, we have the power that raised Jesus from the grave, that defeated death, on our side. Paul's prayer is to remind us that the power of the resurrection is available for us. Don't think that you can't make it through a tough season. The power of the resurrection is available to you. Don't think you can't get past the dark patterns of thoughts that lead you into really destructive places. The power of the resurrection is available to you. Don't think that you have to stay stuck in patterns of sin for your whole life, because the power of the resurrection is available to you. This is part of what it means to be a child of God, to be a follower of Jesus. And so as we pray for our kids, pray for loved ones, pray for those who are growing up in their faith, we pray for God's power to be seen in their life. And maybe this might make some of us a bit uncomfortable to pray for power, depending maybe on the tradition of the church that you grew up in. Maybe some of you are like, yes, we need that power. But we have the power of the resurrection on our side. We can pray boldly. We can pray big. We can pray in the victorious name of Jesus who conquered death. That power is available for us. I want to end with this. Paul prays these things so that his readers, the Ephesians, or whatever other church around Turkey was reading these letters, even us, so that God would show us a clearer picture of what we have in Jesus, so that the value of what we have would be revealed to be so much greater than we imagined it to be. Last week, Haley and I, we were over in Cape Breton, and we were touring around and going around the Cabot Trail and just experiencing the mountains of the Highlands and this beautiful part of the Maritimes. And there was this moment as we were driving from our Airbnb to the Cabot Trail where we started to see the mountains and the Highlands, but there was like this cloud and fog that was kind of over them. And we knew that they were there and they were beautiful and it was a gorgeous area and we could kind of see the outlines of the mountains. And it's breathtaking and we loved it and it was beautiful. But there was this moment where the sun started to burn off the fog and the wind switched direction and the clouds started moving away and we were able to see more clearly the beautiful silhouettes of these mountains. To see the rock and the minerals that are veined through them. To see the rich and beautiful features of each of these mountains and cliffs and how the mountains go down into the ocean. Like we knew that these beautiful things were there. We knew that we were in a gorgeous spot. But all of a sudden, as it's revealed to us, it becomes so much more rich, so much more beautiful. And we enjoyed it so much more. My prayer for us, for you, for our church, is that we would be people who we get to see more and more of the goodness of the gift that God has given us in Jesus. That we would know God. That we would know the hope we have. That we would know what it means to have the inheritance as God's people and we would know the power available to us. So that the fullness of what it means for us to be followers of Jesus and receive that good gift would draw us into a life of worship and adoration of our God. Let's pray together. Our God and Father of our Lord Jesus, you have given us so many great things. You have empowered us by your Spirit to walk this life with you in the footsteps of Christ. You have been the one who's been opening our eyes to see the glory of who you are. You've also been showing us more and more as we grow of who you are. You've been revealing your hope to us. You've been reminding us of who we are as your people, and you've been displaying your power. And God, we pray that you would continue, that you would continue to make the glorious hope we have in Jesus more apparent, to make the body of Christ that we are a part of as the church, your people, more essential. That we would be able to tap into your power to live this life you've called us to. Lord, may we see the value of what you've given us. May we grow in that, and may that draw us into a life of worship. As we pray for others, we pray that you would do this for them, that together as your church, we would all grow to see more clearly and to worship you more fully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.